This episode is brought to you in part by the Acceleron BioAg brand. Harness powerful crop solutions using technology derived from nature. Products from the Acceleron BioAg brand are bioenhancers, primarily containing live microbial organisms. The products help promote increased nutrient and water availability for better yield potential. Acceleron BioAg product offerings are available for canola, wheat, corn, soybean, pulses, and more. Visit AcceleronBioAg.ca for product information and to view BioAdvantage trial results from growers like you. Nature, it's powerful technology. Always read and follow label directions. Welcome to Between the Rows, where you get to hear the stories behind the stories in Canada's leading farm publications. Today, Between the Rows visits the Manitoba Beef and Forage Initiative Centre to learn about the long-term prospects for Manitoba's beef industry in light of climate change.
So you don't liquidate a herd unless there's a significant issue.
Jeremy Symes of the Western Producer reports on new conflicts arising between Alberta farmers and oil and gas companies.
They're coming onto your land and taking away from your business.
And Ashley Robinson of Commodity News Service Canada looks at fresh questions about the canola market. That's all on Between the Rows with this week's host, Laura Rantz.
Hi, and welcome to Between the Rows. I'm your host this week, Laura Rantz. Our first item this week takes us to Alberta, where there are some new conflicts arising between landowners and oil companies. Unless farmers own the mineral rights to their land, finding oil below the surface is usually more of a headache than an asset. Although they are entitled to compensation from oil and gas companies for the inconveniences of developing those reserves, it's often hard to negotiate those agreements and even harder still to enforce them. The Alberta Farmers Advocate Office has recently issued an advisory to warn farmers that oil companies are playing hardball with surface rights in that province. Jeremy Symes of the Western Producer has been following the story and he's here to tell us about it. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, Laura.
So what role does the Alberta Farmers Advocate play in this issue?
Right. So in this issue, the Advocate Office is really here to provide farmers with information with navigating these challenges when dealing with surface rights and oil and gas companies. In some individual cases, you know, they will personally help out. But yeah, they're just here to collect information and provide that information to farmers who might be experiencing these challenges.
Do they have any authority or any mandate to negotiate on their behalf?
No, so they can't do any legal representation, but they can help out kind of, I guess, before you take it to that legal course of action. But yeah.
So what are the concerns that it's raising?
So the concerns right now is that, according to the Advocacy Office, what we're seeing is an increase in the number of cases where oil and gas companies are reportedly violating their surface rights agreements. So some of these scenarios, you know, they include some oil companies have allegedly told producers that, you know, they're reducing the annual compensation for the surface lease because of a change of use or a change in the reclamation surrender. Companies have told farmers they are also facing economic hardship and that by reducing the rates, you know, their economic health will improve. Also, some companies have just stopped paying the annual compensation once they've begun or once they've claimed to begin the reclamation process of a site. So you can imagine this is just creating a lot of headaches for farmers, and they are pretty much left with a lot of these messes and to deal with.
So there's reference to something called the Redwater decision. How does that play into all this?
Yeah, so the Redwater decision is interesting in that it's going to decide whether or not environmental issues are more important than paying back bank creditors. So the decision is going to the Supreme Court. The High Court's arguing it right now, and we're expected to hear more about it later this year, but I'll give you some background just to kind of explain it a bit further.
Right.
So Redwater was an oil and gas company in Alberta, and they went bankrupt. And so when they did, they basically abandoned 70 oil well sites and didn't think they needed to clean it up. So the Alberta Energy Regulator, which oversees oil and gas companies or regulates them in Alberta, disagreed with that and wanted Redwater to pay up. Anyways, they took Redwater to court, and the court actually sided with Redwater and said, you know, because federal bankruptcy laws precede environmental concerns in the province, that any assets from Redwater would go to the bank creditors first and actually going to clean up. So, you know, you can imagine it's not just Redwater that did this. It's a bunch of oil and gas companies that went bankrupt when oil prices crashed. And so now we're at, you know, more than 1,800 well sites that need to be cleaned up, and their liabilities are worth, you know, $110 million. So it's definitely a big issue. And if the court, you know, if they actually side with the Alberta Energy Regulator this time, it'll definitely shake things up in the province. And we'll just have to see what happens.
So that's before the Supreme Court right now.
Yeah, it is.
What are the oil and gas companies saying about all this?
Yeah, so I spoke with Chris Montgomery with the Canadian Association of Petroleum Producers, and which represents a bunch of oil companies. And, you know, he said that companies really need to oblige by their contracts that they signed with farmers on this issue. You know, he understands, and he says a lot of companies are struggling right now, but, you know, that's no reason not to follow the rules on it. If they are having an issue and they want compensation reduced, they will have to go to the Surface Rights Board to start a dispute or actually formally do that instead of just applying it off the cuff.
And what are farmers doing about it?
So I guess farmers have a number of avenues. You know, right now it's really just to know what your rights are first off. So the Farmers Advocate Office is just reminding farmers that, you know, they can review the compensation every 5 years, and a company can't simply just impose a reduction without actually having that formal discussion or without going to the Surface Rights Board for a dispute. The advocacy office is also saying, you know, farmers don't have to accommodate a company's changing financial concerns either. You know, they're coming onto your land and taking away from your business and using your resources. So it's, you know, it's more about you than them. And, I guess, you know, companies, they are required to pay until they have received a reclamation certificate from the government. And any reclamation they do has to be approved by the farmer as well. So it has to meet all those checks and balances. They can't just do it and say it's done. If the issue does get really tricky for you and you feel like it's worth going to the Surface Rights Board, you can. You can file a formal dispute and you can argue. That's going to take, obviously, more time and money to do so. But if it's definitely worth it for you, it's an avenue worth checking out.
Well, thanks, Jeremy. I think we'll be hearing more about this story.
Yeah, definitely. It's one I'm paying particularly close attention to. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Jeremy Symes is a reporter for The Western Producer based in Edmonton. This is Between the Rows. I'm your host, Laura Rance. Depending on who you're talking to, we're either in a drought on the Canadian prairies or having a really bad dry spell. So another hot sunny day seemed like a fitting backdrop to the grand opening of the Manitoba Beef and Forage Initiative Training Centre just north of Brandon, Manitoba last week. The MBFI is a government and industry partnership dedicated to research that helps the beef and forage industry perform better, both economically and environmentally. Manitoba Agriculture Minister Ralph Eichler was at the event to help cut the ribbon on a new $500,000 classroom that's part of a $5 million project. He said research that can help extend the grazing season and develop alternative forage sources are an important part of the beef industry's future. Now, Eichler spoke to reporters afterwards about the current situation facing farmers and the need for better information preparing for the future.
There's more feed out there than what we really know. So what we've been doing is working with the producers in the various areas through our ag offices in order to make sure they're well informed. So then they make the decisions based upon what's best for them and what's available to them. The futures look good for the beef sector. So I'm optimistic that we'll be able to hold on to most of our beef herd here in Manitoba.
Will there be shortages either on a broad scale or an isolated scale?
I think more of an isolated scale than a broad scale. There's parts of the province that's sitting quite good with forages and so on.
In addition to gathering data on the extent of the current problems, the province has opened up crown lands for emergency grazing and haying. But Eichler said he's not a big fan of short-term support programs, such as feed freight assistance, because they're not very effective.
We know that if we announce a freight program, most of that will just drive the price of hay up and will also drive freight costs up. Last time we had a freight assistance program, the money all went to the truckers rather than to the beef guys who really needed it, and it reacted in a negative way that drove the price of hay up, but that's certainly not what we want to do. It's already high enough.
As well, Eichler pointed out that this year's conditions don't really meet his definition for a drought and are, in fact, more indicative of something else. Are you calling this a drought?
Well, you know what? I would say no. I would not call it a drought. I'd call it climate change. We've seen wheat yields well up into the mid-80s, which is unbelievable for this time of year. We've seen some wheat at 30 and 40, too. So it's more of a regional basis, and you drive 12 miles, and it's a different story all over again. So, no, I wouldn't call it a provincial drought at all.
Tom Tycrow is the newly appointed acting president of Manitoba Beef Producers, which is one of the MBFI's partners. While he agrees the severity of conditions vary, it's still a serious concern.
You know, as a producer myself and the people that I speak to on a regular basis, there is areas that are extremely dry. You have small corridors who have had you know, decent moisture, and you have really small corridors who seem all right. So I think we have had all the above. I was recently in London at the Canadian Beef Industry Conference, and this is, as a matter of fact, a national issue. You see it all the way from BC all the way through Alberta. So there is significant challenges nationally, and until we hear farther assessment from our agriculture services organizations to see what the extent of it is, up until then we won't know for sure, but it certainly is a concern, and we already know there's producers who have liquidated. So you don't liquidate a herd unless there's a significant issue.
That's what makes MBFI timely. It's located on a section of land with two satellite locations, and it currently has about 80 head of cows and calves. That means the research results that come from this site are scalable to commercial operations in the region. Tom Tycrow says that gives producers options.
We certainly need to find and develop ways that we can get more producers to use the term to get off the farm and to explore new ways. And that's always, I think, the challenge with all of us, right, that we get set in our ways. And so, I don't have the silver bullet answer here for you as what it's going to take to get these folks out. But I'm hoping that certainly in a year like this year, when you are impacted by significant challenges, that you would want to look outside and find those answers. And a portion of those answers are here. So, through advocacy and all the other things that we do and the development of this, I would hope that we could impact those producers in a positive way to get them to change their operations to what makes them more profitable.
It's not just producers that will benefit from this facility and the work that it does. MBFI is also designed to reach out to the general public to help people better understand the issues facing sustainable beef production, but also the role well-managed grazing systems can play in supporting endangered species and soil quality. This is Between the Rows. I'm your host this week, Laura Rantz. Finally, we're joined with Ashley Robinson, who's with Commodity News Services Canada, for a look at the markets. Hi, Ashley.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks. And you?
Good, thanks for having me.
So there's a long list of items here we can talk about today, but let's start with canola. The market was in a bit of a downturn last week. What's been going on there?
Well, as normal, all the usual suspects were at play, production and weather. So for the last few weeks, I don't know if you noticed, but at the start of August, we had some really, really hot temperatures there across the prairies. And I'm sure you did, as everyone did. But that weather was great for hanging out at the beach. And if you were spending weekends at the lake, it wasn't as good for the crops because we weren't getting moisture at that same time to go along with the hot weather. So there's been some concerns for the last month about what effect that hot weather could have had on the canola crop. But then just in the last week, of course, we had a switch in the temperature, and now it's pretty cool out. And actually, right. Just last night, it's Tuesday right now that we're recording this, so just last night there was actually some frost reported in western Saskatchewan, Alberta, so that also could have an effect on the crop. So there's all these things playing into that, into the market right now there for canola. And then also there really is concern about what the yields will be like. We make an idea at the end of this week on Friday. Statistics Canada releases its updated production report. However, those numbers were taken from a survey at the end of July, so there will probably be a bit of skepticism over that report. But it's just a lot of questions right now about what the production is going to look like for canola, and that drove down the market last week.
So volumes have been lower in trade. Are people just holding back a little bit, waiting to find out?
Yeah, definitely. That is playing into it. But there's a couple of other things that have also been weighing on the market. So I don't know if you had heard, but at the start of August, we had a bit of a change here in Winnipeg. Up until then, the canola futures contracts were based here in the city. It was all, of course, digitally online for a number of years now. But technically, we had the canola market here in Winnipeg. However, ICE, the company that owns the canola market, decided that they would move things to New York. So at the start of August, we had a move. And of course, that changed things a bit. And the thing that really we heard about when that changed was that ICE had said they were moving it because they were like, oh, we'll get more interest from American traders if we have the market in the States. But then there's been some problems since that happened, and right after, volumes really dropped off. And we heard from here at the CNS office, we heard from a trader here in Winnipeg, and he said that one of the things that might be playing into the volumes dropping down a bit is the fact that the margin is higher. And the margin is the thing that all traders have to pay to the company right. that owns the market before they can cash anything. And so that margin was higher when it moved to the U.S. And ICE had lowered it, but they still haven't lowered it to the same kind of volumes as it prices it was before. And then also, it's summer, so there are people on holidays, and there could be just less traders working. But hopefully things pick up, because on Friday we had a really, really exceptionally low volume day with only 1,500 contracts traded, which less than that.
Temporarily, at least, it is affecting the contract's liquidity.
Mm-hmm, it definitely is, and we're hoping for things to be better. Like on Monday, volume had picked up again and people were excited, but then this morning when I was doing the report again, volume was low once again.
So switching gears here a little bit, the Pro Farmer Crop Tour was held last week in the U.S. Midwest. Is it having any effect on the market?
Oh, yeah, of course. People always love crop tours because they give them a bit of an idea and something to argue about whether or not these numbers that are coming out of them are right. So throughout the week, there was just hints, of course, on social media and across all the different market news wires about what we could see from this crop tour. The official numbers released on Friday. But all through the week, it was basically saying, well, hey, we're going to see yields like the USDA estimated earlier in the month. And then there's people complaining because they're like, well, that's what the crop tour always says. So on Friday, people had a bit of a surprise when the official numbers came out, and corn and soybeans were estimated to be higher than expected, which has had a bearish influence on the markets, as people are going to wonder what in the world the U.S. is going to do with all this corn and soybeans, especially with trade issues going on at play there in the country.
So, but wheat markets had been on the rise, and then last week they started to drop again. Is that related to the tour, or is that related to something else?
Not related to the tour, because the tour just kind of focused on corn and soybean
right.
and yields, because there's already the spring wheat harvest underway in the U.S. But so over the last few weeks, we've been seeing the wheat markets on the rise, because I'm sure you've heard about a lot of the dry weather that we're experiencing around the globe. There's a drought in Australia, there's droughts in Europe, there's droughts in the Black Sea region. So people have been panicking about what the production, global wheat production is going to look like. So we saw some of that play when the markets went for some rises, and then in the last week we've seen a bit of rain in some of those areas, which has helped support the idea that the wheat crops might not be as bad, but there still is some concern about that. And of course, when markets are driven up, there is some overselling and everything, so we could see things correcting a bit, but we also just could see things going down too.
Yeah. So how does the current trade situation look going forward? I mean, if there seems to be a lot of volatility in the supply situation, is there a lot of interest in trade?
Well, there's always trade headlines, of course, right now. We're seeing trade deals and stuff all over the world because of a good old guy called Trump down south.
Right.
So it's not been the best lately. Last week, there was a lot of optimism at the start of the week because the U.S. and China had agreed to trade talks, and China traveled all the way to Washington for 2 days of talks. However, that didn't actually pan out, and things may be worse right now because China and the U.S. slapped more tariffs on each other, so that trade war is still going on there. And then on Monday we saw a lot of trade headlines as the U.S. and Mexico announced that they'd come to agreement on a trade deal between the two countries, and everyone was like, wait, what? What about NAFTA? What about Canada?
Right.
So today, Tuesday, Chrystia Freeland, our trade minister here in Canada, was supposed to head down to Washington to talk with the U.S. and see if maybe we could work something out. We've seen for weeks now, we of course seen the headlines and the news that the U.S. and Mexico were working on this trade deal, and everyone was kind of questioning why wasn't Canada there. And then Chrystia Freeland and the Liberals, of course, were playing things down, being like, everything's okay. So I'm interested to see what Freeland has up her sleeve. She's a smart lady, and I'm sure they've been working on their strategy like crazy the last few weeks, but Trump wasn't scared to say yesterday that NAFTA's dead, and he's said that a lot over his time in office. So right now we could be seeing bilateral trade deals coming out of this, since he has reached that deal with Mexico. But then, of course, there's a lot of people, unlike Trump, in the U.S. and Mexico and Canada that still want NAFTA. So I have no idea if NAFTA still even exists right now.
I guess your guess is as good as mine or anyone else's at this point. Well, thanks very much, Ashley. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
You too. Well, that's all we have for you on this week's Between the Rows, but join us again next week. I'm your host, Laura Rantz.
Today's program was brought to you in part by the Acceleron BioAg brand. Acceleron BioAg products harness the powerful technology of nature to release soil-bound nutrients, helping promote nutrient availability at the plant root. Accelerate crop performance with powerful bioenhancers aimed at promoting nutrient and water uptake and improved yield potential. Nature, it's powerful technology. Always read and follow label directions.
Between the Rows is a production of Glacier Farm Media, Canada's leading farm publisher. We'd love to hear what you think of the show and invite you to send your comments to btr@farmmedia.com or visit us at membersgetmore.ca and sign up today.